Give that big clap to Jesus. Can you do that for me? Amen. It is such an honor to be with you all. We could just remain standing right quick. If you don't mind, we're going to pray. But first of all, I just want to say that you all have the best pastors ever. I got to spend some time with Pastor Wes and Pastor Janet, and truly their heart is incredible. So it is an honor and a privilege to really get to know you. Thank you for your hospitality, and we love you all. I feel like I just love you, and we barely met, but thank you. So give them a big shout out, because I'm sure they pour in on a weekly basis. Amen. So I've come all the way from Texas, and I have been to New Zealand quite a few times, and I love New Zealand. The nations are in my heart, and I'm excited to be here. I really feel that it is a divine moment for many of you, I believe, if not all of you. And I've been praying for you. I've been praying for this location, and something that I feel very, very strong in my heart is, this is the title, is Healed for Expansion. Healed for expansion. Can we pray? Help me pray. Lift your hands up to the heavens as we prepare our heart. Father, we come before you this morning, God, and we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, we stand before you in your presence, God. And Lord, I thank you, God, for this moment, God, for this special moment that is so divine. I pray, Father, for this time, God, together. And I pray that there is such a move of your spirit, God. And I declare, God, that as I speak, that every word, God, will not fall by the wayside, God. That the birds of the air will no longer, Father, eat the word of God. But I pray that the word that is launched, God, will be like a double-edged sword. It will penetrate deep into the core, into the DNA, into the bone marrow of every person, God. I pray, Father, that he who has an ear to hear, let him hear to what the Spirit is saying for this hour, for this season, God. I pray that eyes begin to open. I pray that the hearts begin to open. I pray that the ears begin to open. I pray that everything that is stagnant, God, everything that is dormant, everything that came to steal, to kill, and to destroy in the last few years, God, that today is a day of shifting, God. I pray, Father, that in this moment, God, Lord, you are restoring. You're restoring the mind. You're restoring the heart. You're restoring the soul. Father, I pray today, God, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray, Father, by the blood of the Lamb, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, that you speak prophetically, that the word come in like a hammer. Father, I pray in the name of Almighty God. I pray, Father, that there's a cleansing agent, God, Father, flowing out of me, and that the oil of heaven, God, is beginning to flow as I speak at the sound of my voice, God. I pray an open heaven during this time. I pray, Father, that you do miracles today, signs and wonders, God. I thank you that you're healing the soul and you're healing the bodies, God. And Lord, I pray today, Father, that eczema will be dried up. I feel eczema's going to be dried up. I feel somebody with digestive problems is about to have healing in their stomach. Father, I thank you that those, God, Lord, that have had I feel eczema. I don't know why, but whoever that is, the Spirit of God is going to begin to heal you at the sound of my voice, their words and utterances that are coming from heaven. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And God's people shout, amen. Are you ready? Just so, can you bring me my other one? That'd be great. I am so excited. I want to read to you out of, we're going to read Mark chapter 4. Can you get your Bibles out? Mark chapter 4. And we're going to read together Mark chapter 4. And I believe it's going to be up on your screen. That'll be our reference scripture. Mark chapter 4, verses, we're going to read verses 3 through 9. And if you would please join me out loud, and if we can read the scriptures together. Shout with me, body. Shout with me, soul. Shout with me, spirit. The three are connected. That is your human makeup, and you cannot separate one from the other. Shout body, shout soul, and shout spirit. Let's read Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. And if you can read it out loud with me, here we go. It says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, what happened? It died. Verse 7. Can we read it out loud? Verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Let's keep reading. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up, it grew, and produced a crop. Some multiplying, shout that with me, 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Shout, I'm going to be the one that reaps 100 times. Amen. And then let's read on. It says, then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Why do some receive 30, some 60, and why some 100-fold return? And the Spirit of God began to speak to me for this location. And I hear the Spirit of God say that he needs to heal you to expand you. Because the God that we serve is a God of 100-fold capacity. He wants to give you more. He's not done with your life. He's not done with your family. He's not done with the city. God wants to give you more. Shout more. He wants to break the limits that have been limiting you. He wants to break every barrier that's been standing in your way. He wants you to expand, become whole, complete, lacking nothing, so that you receive the 100-fold return. So what God wants to do in this season is expand our capacity. Shout, expand my capacity. You see, when God's glory comes and God's presence comes, it comes, or the deep of God, I shall say, it expands our capacity. And everything that's been clogging us, everything that has been limiting us, everything that has been hindering us, it begins to get unclogged. It's kind of like water when you pour it into a cup. It begins to cleanse. It begins to purify. If you put it in something that's flexible and pliable, that flexible, pliable container vessel begins to expand. Shout 30, shout 60, shout 100. That is the parable of the sower. And one thing I want to emphasize before I go into that parable is that the God that we serve is a God of capacity. God responds to capacity. It is no wonder that one will get filled and the other will not. See, there's a difference when we say to each other, I love you. And you may shout back to me, I love you too. But we all have different containers of love because God is a God of capacity. So God can only come in to the capacity that we have allowed him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God responds to our capacity. That's what it means when we read the scripture, he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, help me, shall be filled, right? Because he fills according to the level of our capacity. So if you're not hungry much, then he cannot fill you much. He's looking for hunger. He's looking for a vessel that is hungry, that is willing enough in this season to empty themselves out so that God can begin to pour more. Shout more. When you look at God in the Old Testament and he began to rain down manna, do you remember? for Israel. The Bible says of manna that began to be rained from heaven, he said, according to their hunger, God sent them manna. So he wants to cause a greater capacity within us. So we have to understand the reason why some receive 30, why some receive 60, and why some receive 100, and why some don't receive is not an issue of God. It is an issue of our capacity. So God wants to know, I want to expand your capacity so that you can handle the blessing that I have in your next season. Shout next. The Bible says in the Old Testament that when they went into Canaan, they took two to carry the grapes. Shout capacity. Everything in your Bible started with God filling capacity. The Bible says that when God formed Adam, he breathed ruah, his breath, capacity into his lungs. When you look at the widowed woman in the Old Testament, it says that she went out and the prophet told her something. Go out and gather jars. And as long as she had capacity, the oil kept flowing. But when she ran out of capacity, the oil stopped. So it is not an issue of God. It is an issue of our capacity. Shout. Lift your hand up and say, my capacity needs to grow in this season, right now, for this moment. Holy Spirit, I give you liberty to come in and expand my capacity. Amen. When God made the temple, the Bible says that he filled it, and he filled it with lampstands. When God came down on the day of Pentecost, we know that the Holy Spirit began to fill everybody. The Holy Spirit began to what? Fill. Because wherever there is capacity, God will fill. When you look at the Shunammite woman, shout Shunammite woman. She made room. Capacity for Elisha. And the Bible says that God gives her a son, resurrects him, and returns everything that was stolen. If you want everything returned to you that has been stolen, I'm telling you, if you make room, everything that the devil meant for destruction, God will begin to turn it around for your good. It's kind of like a pregnant woman. Her womb must expand in order for her to birth whatever that child that she's carrying. Are you willing to empty yourself to make room for God? Are you willing to let go of what was so that you can grab a hold of what is? Are you willing to say, God, I am going to empty myself so that I can enter into my next? Are you willing? Because he's looking for somebody to fill. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. The Bible says in Chronicles that his eyes move to and fro, and he's looking for somebody that he can display his power. But what he's looking for is for somebody who is willing to say, I'm going to empty myself so that God, you can begin to fill me. There is a next for you. Shout next. Say it again. In order for you to go to your next, you have to exit something. You have to let go of something. If you're going to go to your next, if you are going to go to the next chapter of your life, the Bible says that we go from glory, help me, to glory, from faith to faith, from victory to victory. We were not called to be stuck individuals. We were called to go from one dimension to the next dimension. I know that the enemy wants you stuck, but the Lord brought me here to get somebody unstuck. Amen. Shout next. Shout next. You've got to have an exodus in order to go to your next. He wants to bring you out. Bring you out of what?
bring you out of depression, bring you out of fear, bring you out of your previous trauma, bring you out of that sadness, bring you out of the frustration. He wants to bring you out of doubt and unbelief that has crept in from all the trauma that you have been through. So why does God want to do that? So that in your next, you have the right mindset, that opportunities that are before you are so big that you cannot think the same. The opportunities that are in front of you are so big, bigger than your mind can ever conceive or think or imagine. And in order for you to grab a hold of your next, you're going to have to let go of what was. Shout, I must let go. If we do not let go, we are going to be stuck in seasons. We're going to repeat cycles. We're going to be stuck in what we used to do, how we used to think, how we used to feel, instead of entering into what God wants us to enter into. Many people are repeating cycles. They're repeating seasons because we fail to see the following. Write this down. That every change is followed by a transition. And if it starts, and it always starts with an ending, something new, when it's coming into our lives, everything new begins with an ending. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, it says, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Isaiah 43, 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So he says in Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10 that he basically declares the end from the beginning. Meaning this, if God started something, he's going to finish it. And what God decrees, so it shall be. That's why it is so dangerous for you and I to get stuck in a season, to get stuck in what was, to get stuck in bitterness, to get stuck in offense, to get stuck in and be upset and stay hurt and stay injured and stay feeling sorry for yourself and stay maybe being hurt and nobody touch me. It's so dangerous to stay isolated. It's so dangerous for you to stay in a cocoon and never come out and become all that God created you to become, because there's a next for you. Shout, there's a next for me. When something ends, something new has to begin. So this means that something's about to start. Your next is already promised. It's already done. So how do I enter into my next? How do I increase my capacity? How do I grow internally? I'd like to say it like this. You cannot have an external breakthrough until you have your internal breakthrough. An internal breakthrough is very much required. So in order to expand internally, in order for us to enter into our next, in order for us to grab a hold of what God has in the next seasons, we've got to have a self-assessment. We've got to deal with our own dysfunctions. We cannot keep thinking the same and then expecting God to give us better results. We have to change on the inside. We cannot be doing the same thing, repeating the same patterns, the same belief system, the same praise, the same worship, the same way I serve God, the same way I've always done it, the same prayer, the same way of doing things, and then expect to go to our next. Because if we keep repeating cycles, there is something that gets affected. If we stay with our own dysfunctions, you know what gets affected? Your faith. Shout faith. Because faith has eyes. That's why what we need to pray, and one of the most powerful prayers that you can pray is, God, give me new eyes. Let me see it right. Let me see this loss right. Let me see this trauma right. Let me see what happened to me right. Let me see the season right. Let me see all this affliction right. Let me see the division right. Let me see the betrayal right. Let me see this last past year right. I need to be able to see right, because many people's lenses has been affected by trauma from the past. We have a distorted lens. So we praise our way through, we worship our way through, and we think we're going to be okay. But then Monday comes around, and there's your distorted lens again. And then Tuesday, and it's almost like a cycle in our lives. Can I get really honest with you? And what ends up happening is we start to have issues with our vision. And we're no longer visionary. And what once was so alive, what once we believed God for, it's kind of diminishing. And we no longer believe God for those great things that we once used to believe God. And whenever that happens, then the soul needs to be examined and assessed. Let me tell you what your soul is. Shout body. Shout soul, shout spirit. Your spirit is your spirit, but your soul is the interpreter of all things. If I have an interpreter and they're interpreting the wrong thing, that is what's happening to a lot of people in the body of Christ. So you can feel the glory of God all day. You can have the most powerful service and your spirit was touched, but it's the soul that is going to interpret what just happened. And what's happening is that we are not dealing with the dysfunctions of the soul. We are trying to praise our way through. And in reality, the soul is damaged. The soul is fragmented. The soul has been injured. The soul has been hurt. So it's time to heal the soul. Watch this. So you know what happens whenever our vision is distorted? Our faith begins to wither. So what ends up happening is we begin to doubt, shout doubt. And when doubt comes into our hearts, you know what happens? Three different ingredients have an association with doubt. Whenever you see doubt, you're going to see, number one, a mistrust. You no longer trust. You don't trust God. And if you got honest with yourself, because I'm coming for the honest you. I'm not coming for the church you. I'm coming for the honest you. So you begin to distrust God because you say, God, I thought you were going to. God, why haven't you? And the soul is fragmented. So number one, we start to mistrust. Number two, another ingredient of doubt is we become almost cynical. Cynical. You know what cynicism is? You used to see it in a positive way, and now you see it in a negative way. You used to love church, but now you're not so sure. You used to love your brother, but now I'm not so sure. And if you're not careful, doubt began to creep in. And the third thing that begins to be affected when our vision is affected, when doubt starts to come in, is fear. Shout, fear. We start to now, little by little, we start to disconnect with our destination, because in the soul is fear. In the soul is mistrust. In the soul is doubt. In the soul is cynicism. And something's happening in my soul. So there's almost this confusion. Because you say, but I felt God's power. But how is it that I'm struggling with the mind? I'm struggling in my soul. And if we're not careful, what ends up happening is that we get disconnected from our destination. And the very thing that God had for us, we can no longer see. The Bible says to Abraham, Abraham, as far as you can see, if you can see it, you can attain it. If you can see it, it'll be yours. If you can see it, you will hug it. If you can see it, it will manifest. If you can see it, it will become flesh. If you can see it, here's the problem, is that we have eyesight problem. We no longer have an internal lens that is clear. It's distorted because something is happening in our soul, and our soul needs to be healed today, so that you can expand, so that you can receive the hundredfold return. Am I talking to the right people? Shout, that's me. The Bible says of Joshua, he's a good example because Moses died and he's on the floor mourning. All of Israel is. And Joshua's in a time of transition. And the Bible says that when he's on the floor and he's been mourning for a long time, God comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, the days of mourning have ended. Get up. And you know what God came to tell me? He said, daughter, it's time that my people get up again. It's time that my people begin to believe again. And he's walking with God, and there's a time almost of this change, the next of God, what he's going to do. And although Joshua did not know all the details, he said, God, I'm going to trust you anyway. And a new generation began to rise, a new place, a new time. And God now is causing them to claim the promises that he had already given Abraham. So God tells them, the land is yours, but you have to possess it. And it took a generation that began to get healed because the previous generation had a lot of grumbling issues. The previous generation could not get their soul straight. But this generation, the Joshua generation, began to deal with the soul in a healthy way. Therefore, they could conquer the land. Therefore, they could possess the land. God was not going to do it for them. God said, it's yours, but you have to possess it. That's why God told Joshua, be strong and be courageous, and I will give you good success. Now, in our text, we see three types of soil. Do you remember? The three kinds of soils. And those three kinds of soils, I've been studying for over 2 years. And these three kinds of soils, let me suggest to you, are three emotions that are happening in the scripture and is determining whether someone's going to receive nothing, somebody is going to lose what they did receive, and it's determined by who's going to receive the 30, who's going to receive the 60, and who's going to receive the 100. And these three emotions I'd like to suggest to you are, number one, anger, number two, fear, and number three, sadness. And I'll go through the scriptures with you. Anger, fear, and sadness. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 has been a highlight for our ministry. And the Bible says in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, and it says as follows. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul, one translation, even as your soul prospers. Shout it, even as my what? Soul prospers. If you are not prospering in your soul, you are impoverished in every area of your life. I'm going to say it again. If you are not prospering in your soul, you are impoverished in every other area of your life. That is why Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, did something. He started his preaching with the word repent. And we all know the definition of repent. Repent means to change your mind. Where is the mind? Somebody shout soul. Your mind is in your soul. So his first attention was given to your soul because he was saying, if I can get your soul changed, then the kingdom of God can come to your house. The kingdom of God can come into your life. Then you can bring heaven down to earth. Then the kingdom of God can get into your kids. The kingdom of God can get into your spirit. The kingdom of God can get into every area of your life. He's dealing with the soul. Shout soul. And the battle that God has right now is that God is battling for our soul. But so is Satan. Shout, so is Satan. Satan and God are not after your body. They are after your soul. Because whoever controls your soul controls you. Let that sink in. Whoever controls your soul controls you. Tell me who controls your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I'll tell you who's controlling your soul or your life. Whoever controls that, the soul part of man, is controlling every area of our lives. So the battle is really for the soul. So Jesus was always going after the mind. When you study the Bible, he said time and time again, listen to my teaching, follow my teaching, study my word. If he was saying basically, if I can get your mind saved, if I can get you to change your soul so that you don't lose the battle. Do you want to know why many of us are losing the battles right now? Many people are losing battles because they have not got a grip on their soul. They don't know what to do with it. They go to church and it seems like it should be functioning correctly as far as our personal life is concerned. But truth be told, there's a lot of questions in your mind, subconsciously or unconsciously. We may not articulate them. We may not say it. But some, and I perceive this, many of you have questioned God. And you're saying, God, where are you? Were you not supposed to be the God that heals? Were you not supposed to be the God of the impossible? Where are you? And there's something going on in our soul that we've got to heal today. We've got to begin the journey of healing the soul today. Your future depends on it. Your children depend on it. Your family depends on it. God is going to shift something in our soul. You see, your soul houses something. It houses your emotions. And so what Satan does is he likes to attack in such a way, in different and various ways, so that he always gets us to go back to how we used to feel. Emotions, let me say it like this. In the church, for many, many years, we were taught, don't walk by your emotions. How many of you have ever heard that? Raise your hand. Be honest. I'll raise my feet and everything. We've all been taught that, haven't we? This was my question. Then what am I supposed to do with them? If God gave me my emotions, what am I supposed to do with them? Let me free you. Your emotions are valid. Your emotions are information. Your emotions are information. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are accurate. It is just information. Something's happening. Your soul is trying to tell you something. Look, emotions, shout emotions. Those are valid. God gave them to you. But if we're not careful, we begin to be moved by them in such a way that we begin to crawl in a little ball, feel sorry for ourselves, and then we wonder where God is. And we become Christians that are struggling. Jesus, I'm going to say a statement. Jesus, he did not experience emotions so that you don't have to. He experienced emotions. He endured them so that you know how to. Hebrews 5:7 says as follows. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong, this is Jesus, crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. It says that Jesus had strong crying, strong tears. This is Jesus, the Savior, the miracle worker, the bread of life, the Lamb of God. This is Jesus. He knew how to handle his soul. He knew what to do with it. And today I'm going to teach you what to do. Jesus, shout Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see all kinds of trauma happening inside the soul. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we find that there's an internal war with the Lamb of God, an internal war with Jesus, our Savior, an internal war, a trauma that is happening inside of Jesus, the one that is and was and is to come. Jesus, the miracle worker, the name above every name, that Jesus is having a moment, an internal battle with his own soul. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 14, we're going to read verse 32 all the way to 39. Can we read it together? Let's read out loud so you can hear yourself. It says, they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him. And he began to be, shout it. Let's look at all the emotions. He began to what? To be deeply distressed. And what else? Troubled. Let's read on. My what? My what? Is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of, have you ever been so sorrowful to the point of death? And he said to them, stay here and keep watch. It says, going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Let's read on. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he turned to his disciples and found them what? Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Read on. Watch. I need you to say that with me again. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. 39, all the way to 39. Thank you. It says, and they were in Gethsemane, and he found them sleeping. Now, there's a verse I want you to jot down, and you could go home and read it. But it's found in Luke chapter 22, same Garden of Gethsemane story. But in verse 44, it says of Jesus, let's read it. It's up on your screen. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Emotions, anguish of the soul is happening in Gethsemane. And the disciples are what? In deep sorrow, deeply distressed. Jesus, the Bible says, he was in distress. He was terrified. That word deeply distressed translates to the word terror. Shout terror. And you know what that means? It means to be heavy in your soul. In other words, it means to be depressed. In other words, it means to be so terrified. In other words, you're up under terror. That's right, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, is feeling depressed. The Savior of the world is feeling agony. The Savior of the world is feeling in deep sorrow. He feels scared. And these guys, these disciples, the Bible says that they began to fall asleep. And Jesus, the Bible says, found these disciples so sorrowful that they began to fall asleep. This is the kind of sorrow, the kind of sorrow that leads you into mourning. And many people, oftentimes in the church, become spiritually sleepy. And you're asleep because your mourning put you and lulled you to sleep. Ooh. All of us, shout all of us, have lost things this year, last year, and the year before. And truth be told, all of us are grieving. Everybody is grieving. And not knowing what comes next is called ambiguous grief. Whenever you're left with uncertainty, you don't know what's gonna come, and that is grief. And you know what grief leads to? Now, I told you your makeup. You are a body, you are a soul, and you are a spirit. You cannot disconnect the body with the soul. And you cannot disconnect your body from your spirit. They are one. And whenever there is grief and something is fragmented in your soul, whenever something in your soul is not well, it has not undergone a complete, intense, deep healing, you know what? It leaves the body and it begins to feel. The body begins to feel. So whenever there is sadness, whenever there is grief, it leads to fatigue. It's no wonder you're so tired. It leads to constant headaches. It leads to mixed sleeping cycles. You have insomnia. You start to get dizzy. You have a hard time concentrating. Your muscles begin to have body aches. Blood pressure starts to increase or decrease. You start to have appetite issues, digestive issues. And oftentimes we go to the doctor and we want the doctor to fix it. But sometimes the doctor will say things like, I don't know what's wrong with you. And what's really happening is something your soul is telling you. You are fragmented in the soul, and the body is feeling the grief of the previous years. And if you fix the soul, you will fix the body. If you fix the soul, you'll begin to align things in your life, and then you become a living person, a whole person. Do you remember that story of the woman with the issue of blood? And the Bible says that she said to herself, if only I can touch the garment of Jesus, I will be made. That word means sozo. Sozo. Shout sozo. It means healed. It means whole. It means my soul is whole. It means my spirit is whole. It means my body is soul. A whole, complete, lacking nothing. And oftentimes, we begin to avoid feeling stuff. We don't want to feel it. We don't want to experience it. So you know what we do? We start to acquire numbing behaviors. We sleep it off. We eat it away. We just start have mourning behaviors, trying to find a way to cope with what's really happening inside our soul. And most of us don't like pain. Most of us don't want to feel pain. What's the first thing we do when we go to the dentist? Do you have any numbing cream? Do you have anything that will numb this? Because none of us like to feel pain. But let me give you one of the best advices that I've ever been given. You have to get good at handling pain. As a matter of fact, you have to know how to deal with pain correctly. Because your body was created in such a way where your body heals itself. And many times we don't want to feel. I don't want to feel these things, so give me something to numb it. And just like we do with the dentist's office, we begin to do in our spiritual life as well. I don't want to deal with it. So what I'm going to do is hide in the church. I'm going to hide behind prayer. I'm going to hide behind this, that, and the other. But Jesus did not teach us that. You have to have a good relationship with pain. When Jesus is feeling terror, he's feeling fear. His body reacted to it. We just read it in Luke. It says that his blood capillaries began to burst, and he began to sweat droplets of blood because he was in an emotional pain. Modern medicine calls that hematohidrosis. It is an actual scientific terminology because he's feeling what is happening in his soul. And it usually comes from a feeling of torture, from a feeling of terror, like somebody who was raped. Jesus is experiencing intense fear. But he told us what to do. He said, what? Two things. Watch and pray. Shout with me, watch. Shout with me, pray. What does watch mean? Because we want to override the watch, and we want to just go to pray mode. But he didn't just tell you to pray. He said to watch. And what does watch mean? Watch means to give strict attention to something. I must be cautious. I must be vigilant. I must pay attention to what's really going on inside of me. When was the last time you looked in the mirror and asked yourself, how are you doing? Oftentimes, we ask each other, how are you? And we say, oh, I'm well. Glory to God. Bless Jesus. Oh, glory to God. He's so good in the highest. And you're not. Your soul is hurting, and it's fragmented. And Jesus said, watch. Give strict attention to what's happening inside of your soul. He didn't just watch. And he watched, and he prayed. And the Bible says the disciples did not watch. We just read it. What did they do? They fell what? Asleep. The body is sometimes trying to put us to sleep to avoid feeling the hard stuff. We would rather just go to sleep because we're resisting watching. Have you been resisting the watching? Jesus refuses to avoid it. He deals with his soul. So he watches. He's alert. He's feeling the emotions. He writes them for us. He said he's in deep anguish. He tells his dad. That's the first time we ever see the word Abba, Daddy. And he said, God, if it's possible, take this cup from me. He's feeling the emotion. He's not stuffing it. He's not avoiding it. He's sitting there, and he's feeling the emotion. He's giving attention to it. He's present with the emotional pain. That's called being emotionally healthy. Emotional health is not necessarily that you're going to be happy all the time. Emotional health is that you have the ability to name what's really happening inside of you. You have the ability to acknowledge, I'm not well and I need help. I'm not well and I need to ask God to give me strategies and to give me weapons to deal with what's going on the inside, because I am not going to stay stuck. I am not going to stay in the pit. I am not going to stay where I've been in the last year. I refuse to repeat cycles. I refuse to stay in a season. I refuse to have this emotional encoding that happened to me when I was a child. I refuse to associate the rejection that I felt as a kid and then take it along all the way through my adult years and begin to have a false lens and a distorted lens and pretend like something is when in reality it is not. I refuse to do that. Jesus said, I'm going to feel the emotion. I'm going to deal with it. Watch and pray. Shout, watch. Shout, pray. He did not spiritually bypass. It's a new word. Write it down. Perhaps for some of you, perhaps for others, you've heard of it. Spiritual bypassing. Shout it with me. Spiritual bypassing. We do that all the time and we don't know it. And the wounds that are festering still, and the wounds that we've had for many years, that we do not tend to them. And God, you know what he wants to do? He wants to access all his power to deal with all those wounds that have been festering for many, many years. You know what spiritual bypassing is? It's avoidance. It's repression. It's evading and avoiding the hard stuff to feel it. You know what spiritual bypassing is? Is we use spiritual language. We use spiritual concepts. We use platitude, and we over-spiritualize the struggle that we are facing. Let me ask you a question. Do not answer it. This is a personal question. Let me ask you a very important question. And answer yes or no within you. Every struggle in your life can be solved with a spiritual solution, yes or no. Every struggle in your life can be solved with a spiritual solution. Yes or no? Some may agree. Some may say yes. Some may say no. When we say yes to that, you have spiritually bypassed your life. Because not every situation in your life can be dealt with as a spiritual solution. I'll give you an example. If I want to build muscle, do I just pray for muscles? Let me ask you the question again. Everything in my life has and will be solved through a spiritual solution. Yes or no? Exactly. Spiritual bypass. John Wellwood said, and I loved what he said. He found a trend. And he said the following. He said, I found a trend with many of my patients that were not healed physically. He said every time they would ask them, how are you? They would respond, I'm well. I'm fine. I'm doing good. And they were sick in their bodies because they spiritually bypassed and they did not deal with the hard stuff that is really going on the inside. You know what spiritual bypassing is? Is we use positive phrases, but we really don't get to the heart of the issue. We don't get to the soul of our struggles inside. Positive phrases that cover up our pain. And if I can leave you with something, don't you ever cover up your pain. Don't you ever spiritual bypass, because you will never get the hundredfold return that way. You see, when we've been growing up in the church, I grew up in the church at the age of 16. I got saved and radically transformed in God. And I would hear Christian phrases that would cover up the pain and would cover up the struggles instead of owning it and taking responsibility. And going, what do I need to face? What is off about me? Why do I respond that way? Why do I take that like rejection? Why do I feel that way? And Christianity has a way of spiritually bypassing. And the Lord comes in this season to deal with that issue, to deal with all of this, to say, I'm going to pull you out. I'm going to make you better. I'm going to take you to the hundredfold return. I'm going to heal you, to expand you so that you can expand. You see, when you spiritually bypass, you begin to stuff everything. And then when God wants to touch you, there's only a portion of you that allows the presence to come in. We say things like this. This is spiritual bypassing. An example in the church is somebody says, I'm struggling with anxiety. We say things like this and we slap a scripture. But God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. We slap scriptures at people when in reality we need to deal with the soul. And in the soul, you can't slap a scripture. You've got to watch and you've got to pray. You got to watch and you got to pray and you got to watch and you got to pray. And maybe you're carrying resentment inside of your soul. Somebody hurts you and somebody, a Christian, somebody who's dear and they don't know any better. They don't mean bad. They don't know any better. And we say things like, you just need to forgive. You need to turn the other cheek. But inside you're still feeling the resentment and inside you're still bitter and you're offended. And you're saying, okay, I know I'm supposed to do this, but tell that to my soul. And we have no full acknowledgement. We do it to ourselves, don't we? Can I tell you where spiritual bypass leads you to? It always leads you to an inner critic. Many of you are hard on yourselves. You're hard on yourself, and you don't extend grace to yourself. And we say things like this. This is spiritual bypass. If I just prayed more, if I just get closer to God, if I just did everything perfect, then all my problems would magically disappear. Oh, if only I had a dad. If only I had a mom. If only I wouldn't have gone through this. If only, and we begin to be an inner critic, and we beat ourselves up thinking that it was our fault, thinking that we could have done something. If only I was a better person. If I wasn't so angry, if only I read more, if only I was as smart as so-and-so, if I just prayed harder, if I could pray better than so-and-so, if only I can pray like sister so-and-so, if I was just holy, if I didn't get raped, if I didn't get rejected. And we tell ourselves all kinds of things because we are beating ourselves and beating ourselves. And I'm not suggesting that you don't go the extra mile. And I'm not suggesting that you don't become excellent for God. But what I'm saying is if you're going to have an authentic faith, a faith that will ride the storm, a faith, authentic faith is a faith that is grounded. It is anchored. It doesn't waver. It's not up. It's not down. It always believes God. It always trusts God. It is not a facade. It is an authentic faith. Can I tell you what leads you to authentic faith? A healed soul leads you to authentic faith. You know why you doubt? You know why you're up and down all the time? It's because there's no authentic faith. Because perhaps you've been very hard on yourself. And there's an inner critic inside of you. Those voices that speak loud. The voices that are telling you, if you wouldn't have gone through this, if you wouldn't have done that, then that wouldn't have happened. It's your fault that you're going through what you're going through. But you know, when you begin to acknowledge it, and you begin to put it in front of you. Authentic faith is to be at peace with you. Authentic faith is to be at peace with your past. Authentic faith is to be true to yourself. That is wholeness in body, in soul, and in spirit. You know who spiritually bypassed in the Bible? Job and his friends. The Bible says of Job, do you remember the story of Job? The Bible says that his friends had no idea what he was going through. The Bible says that Job is in a lot of pain. He's in a lot of agony. And he's experiencing loss after loss after loss. Just when he got up, there was another loss. And he doesn't understand why he's feeling the pain. He doesn't understand. We look at that story in retrospect. But when you are Job in the middle of that story, I wonder what he felt. I wonder after the loss. I wonder how pain, the pain that he experienced. I wonder what his soul was feeling. I wonder the agony that he felt when he lost his family. I wonder the agony that he felt and the sadness and the depression when he was experiencing loss. And all the while, he was a man who loved God. He was a man who served God. And his friends don't know what to say. So they begin to speculate. And that's spiritual bypassing. And they say to Job, if you would have just done it right, or if you would have just prayed hard enough, or if you would have just done X, Y, and Z. But a real friend doesn't spiritually bypass. A real friend says, I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you feel, but I'm here as your friend to pick you back up, and I'll hold you along the way, and I'll walk with you along the way, and your pain is my pain, and I don't know why it happened. We may never know why. There's some things we will never know why, but a real friend says, I will be with you through the thick, through the thin, in the good, and in the bad, and in the ugly, but I'm going to be with you. But you know what pride does, and you know what religion does. It begins to point finger. If you've only done that, and that's not Jesus. He entered into the hurt of the people. He entered into the pain of the people. He never minimized their pain. He never spiritualized their pain. He never made assumptions. To the woman, the Samaritan woman, who I'm assuming had a lot of void, she goes up to her. He goes up to her, and he never made assumptions. He never began to accuse her. He went to her pain. And we've all been guilty of spiritually bypassing. And all we do is we begin to have an inner critic, and we wound what is already wounded. And we're wounded inside of our spirit, inside of our soul. Spiritual bypassing happens. You know why? Because we want to excuse our behavior. Because we would rather somebody pity us than let it cost us to get healed. On what occasion Jesus went to the man by the pool of Bethesda and asked him an important question. Do you even want to be healed? And he didn't pick him up. He said, take up your mat, pick it up, and be healed. See, healing is for all of us. But healing is work. Healing takes a responsibility on our part. And that's when you become emotionally mature. It's somebody who doesn't excuse the behavior. The reason why I'm like this is because I take responsibility for why I am like that. And let me tell you two words. If I can leave you with these two words, it will help you a lifetime. There are two things that will lead you on the journey of healing internally. You never heal in shame. You never heal by accusations and accusing you and being hard on you. You can only heal in the context of compassion with yourself, in the context of being curious about yourself. Are you curious? Do you ask questions? Why do I respond that way? Why do I feel that? Why am I like that? And that always leads you to authentic faith. Authentic faith. Shout authentic faith. Jesus did two things. He watched and he prayed. And he allowed himself to process the emotion that he was experiencing. He prayed and he was strengthened and he triumphed. Can I tell you that the war was really won in Gethsemane, not necessarily at the cross. He had already triumphed because he first triumphed in Gethsemane. That's where the victory began. In Gethsemane, because the internal battle, he won it. He prayed and he watched. But Peter did not. Peter did not watch. Peter did not even pray. Peter slept it off. Peter did not watch. He did not pray. And he entered into temptation. When we see after the Garden of Gethsemane, we find there that Jesus now is looking at Peter from this standpoint. Peter goes when they're coming to arrest Jesus. And what does Peter do? He cuts off the ear of that soldier. He's got anger. He's angry because in Gethsemane, he didn't deal with his soul. He's carrying the emotion all the way through. Peter, when you hear the crow, by the third crow, you have already denied me three times. I would never. You're carrying the emotion, Peter. That's why you're doubting. You're carrying the emotion, Peter, because you did not watch and you did not pray. But Jesus watched and he prayed and he presented himself and he began to watch. And sometimes we try to use prayer as an escape for our emotions, but the emotion is still there. I love the glory of God. I'm in realms of glory that are so deep. And I asked God this question once, after the glory, deep, weighty presence of the glory of God, why are the people still coming out and by Monday they're struggling? And God said to me, it's their soul, daughter. Their soul has not been watched. And in order for us to expand our capacity, we've got to get real with what's going on. In Mark chapter 4, and I end quickly. In Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, it says that there were three kinds of soil. And some reap 30, 60, and 100-fold. This parable shows us three negative emotions. I gave them to you. And the first one, it says that the seed was sown, like I'm sowing seed right now. But the birds of the air came and what? Ate it. The birds. The number one problem with planting grass are birds. What do birds represent in the Bible? Yes, the Bible says the enemy came to steal it away. But may I suggest to you that the enemy is using opportunities to steal it away? Because you know, right, that the bird is not actually the devil, but it's something that the enemy is using to steal the word. The birds in the Bible, and I've read it time and time again, represent emotions. And that emotion is sadness. Let me read you one scripture, Psalms 102, 4 through 9. And the word of the Lord says as follows, 102 verses 4 through 9. Speaking of depression and speaking of sadness, it says, my heart is sick, withered like grass, and I have lost my appetite. Because of my groaning, I am reduced to skin and bones. I am like an owl in the desert, like a little owl in a far-off wilderness. I lie awake, lonely as a solitary bird. On the roof, my enemies taunt me day and night. They mock and curse me. I eat ashes for food. My tears run down into my drink. Think about that. It says that this bird is an owl, and an owl in a desert. Well, we all know that owls don't live in the desert. The King James Version says the pelican is in the desert. And we all know that pelicans do not live in deserts. What is this telling us? That everything is out of order emotionally. And when everything is out of order emotionally, then the word cannot go in. And although you hear preaching after preaching and the word of God after the word of God, but when sadness is living in the soul, the word cannot get in. The seed falls, but automatically it is gone. But I like to suggest to you that the word always works. When God was speaking to Israel, he said, let the word profit you. And it says that the word did not profit Israel. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 13. It's 15:13 in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 15 verse 13. It says, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And if I ask the question today, are you sad? Many of you might say no. But I want you to listen to every word that comes out of my mouth, because these are all words associated with sadness. What if I asked you, are you suffering in any way? Let me give you other words. Are you disappointed? Because disappointment is a form of sadness. Do you feel shame? Because shame is a form of sadness. Do you feel neglected, in despair, in agony? Do you feel hurt, depressed, sorrowful, dismayed, displeased, regretful, guilty, isolated, lonely, powerless? And do you have grief? May I suggest to you something, that the presence of depression, the presence of sadness is not punishment, nor is it an indicator that the presence of God is not there. It just tells you that your soul is broken and it is in need of some major repairing and major healing. And when sadness begins to last in you for many, many years, it begins to get chronic. And God is calling his people to heal so that he can expand, because there is in the latter days a glory that is coming. The second ground is a stony ground. And the Bible says that it had no depth, so it withered away. So it's not sad enough to block it. It gets in. The birds don't steal it, but the roots are not going down to get its water. So they endure for a little while, but because of affliction and because of persecution, all of a sudden the word cannot get in. And you know, when I studied that, and roots, it says because of offenses. It says the word was taken from them. Offense is a form of anger. So the second emotion I see here is anger, because offense is a form of it. The emotion number two is that anger, sometimes when you feel it, when you're angry to God or angry at God or angry at a loved one because they maybe graduated and went on to be with the Lord, that is a part of processing grief. You know who was angry in the Bible? Jonah. Jonah was angry. He was mad, and he had an attitude towards God. He was angry, and he couldn't hear God. So he starts to make his own plans. And you know what happened to him? He started, because of the anger, it started to steal his productivity. And that capacity was undermined because of anger. Anger affects your physical body. It lowers your immune system. You start to have chronic headaches, digestive problems. When you have unexpressed anger, you begin to swallow it. So may I suggest to you the fact that the doctor cannot find anything wrong with your stomach. It's not that you have digestive problems. It's that you have anger problems. Insomnia, you're disrupting. There's a disruption in your sleeping patterns. There's high blood pressure. Anger causes eczema and all kinds of skin conditions, heart attacks, strokes. They're all associated with anger. And lastly, the thorny ground. This is where you see that the trees used to be. And the trees sprang up and they were growing fruit, but because of the thorns. And this is the soil of almost. I almost made it, but I didn't. I could almost taste it, but I can't attain it. I almost reached it, but I'm not there yet. I'm almost there, but something is barricading me. And you can't seem to break out because you're in the soil of almost, because your soul is fragmented. And because of that, you're frustrated now. You can't hug it. You can't grab it. It doesn't manifest, and it slips out of your hand. Does that sound like your promises? It's the soil of almost. I almost had my breakthrough, but it fell out of my hands. I almost saw it, but it began to wither. You know who had a thorn in their flesh? Paul. The Bible says that he had a thorn on his side. And God said, oh, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. A trauma specialist said as follows, anything that stops you from fulfilling your potential is either a bad memory or a lie. Everything you needed was laid before you before the foundations of the earth. The almost soil is a bad memory or a lie. When you are in almost, I almost got the breakthrough. I almost had it. It is the soil of almost. And that barricade, that opposition, it is not the devil. The devil has been defeated. The devil is under your feet. The devil has already been destroyed. He has given us power, authority, and dominion to trample over against every wicked scheme of the enemy. And no weapon formed against us will prosper or will prevail. The soil of almost, the problem is not the enemy. It is a lie and a memory that is locked up in the inside of the soul. And until we unlock it, until we begin to get real and honest with ourselves, then we'll become free. The soil of almost. It's, you see, the enemy will do as follows. I'm done. Can you stand to your feet? I'm going to minister every person for the next few minutes. The enemy has been using betrayals, fears, divisions, soul ties, confusion. The enemy has been using fogginess of the mind. The enemy has been using no clear vision and things that have come to arrest you so that you never attain the next. And God is dealing with our dysfunctions. Why? Because he loves you so much, he wants to give you 100-fold. And he's asking the question today, are you willing to empty yourself so that God can begin to fill again? Are you ready? Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I want to ask you this question. Who was this message for? Raise your hand all the way to the heavens. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Let me ask you this question with every eye closed and every hand lifted up. Let me ask you this question. How are you? How are you? How are you? Now, how do you want to be? I want to know, how are you? And I'm going to open up the front, the altar. I'm going to open this. And if you say, there is so much agony in my soul, and there are so many things that I have not dealt with in the soul, but I need to watch and pay close attention to. If that is you, I'm going to open up this altar and I'm going to make an altar call for all those that need healing in the soul. And you know it's broken. And you know you're carrying around grief. And it is the very reason. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's sadness. Maybe your lens is distorted. If that is you, if you want to come up, you can come up. If you don't, that's fine too. Wherever you're at, lift your hands up all the way to the heavens, all the way, all the way. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to get honest with yourself. And all those things that are in your soul, I want you to express them to the Father in heaven, just like Jesus did in Gethsemane. And he began to open up his mouth and began to share. He said he was in agony. He began to say what he was feeling. So at the count of three, I want you to begin to express it. I want you to open up your mouth, and I want you to tell God how you're feeling. And I want you to shout, Abba. And I want you to tell Abba, this is what's happening in my soul. This is what I feel right now. This is what my soul is feeling. Are you ready? I want you to lift up your voices and shout, Abba. Shout it. Let it come out of your spirit. 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 That means Daddy. That means Daddy. That means Daddy. That means Daddy. Can somebody shout Daddy? Daddy. Daddy. Abba. 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 My soul is not prospering, Abba. I need you to come and prosper me in my soul. I want you to open up your mouth, and I want you to express to Abba everything that you're feeling. Tell him. Begin to tell him, I'm angry. I'm hurt. Don't be afraid. He's not angry because you do. The Bible says in Philippians that you have a high priest that empathizes with you. He knows how you feel. He knows what you're experiencing. He knows how you feel. I want you to open your mouth and begin to express it to him. Open your mouth. You know what? And why we're not healed? Because we don't know how to express it. We're afraid to. We think he's going to be angry, but he's not angry. He understands you. He knows exactly how you feel, but he wants you to get it out. I want you to empty yourself out today. I want you to empty yourself out today and begin to empty, 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 empty before I pray, before I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, shout Abba. I feel like something has to break. Abba, shout Abba. Shout it again, shout it again. Shout it in desperation. Shout it in desperation. Shout it until something shifts inside of you. Shout it. Abba! 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 Tell them how you feel. Tell them how you feel. Tell them how you feel. There's people here that have depression. And God is meeting you right where you're at. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth. See, that this is the difference between the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold. I want you to empty yourself out. This is a moment. This is a moment. This is a moment. Tell God, God, this is how I feel. You're my daddy. You're my Abba. You are faithful. You know how I feel. I want you to come in and begin to deal with me. I want you to heal my soul. I want you to heal the fragmented places in my life. I want you to come in and deal with it. I want you to come. No more. No more avoiding it. No more hiding it. No more bypassing it. No more. No more. No more. Shout Abba, no more. Shout Abba, no more. Shout Abba, no more. Shout Abba, no more. No more. I want to tell you how I feel. I want to share with you how I feel. I want to tell you I've been upset. I've been hurting. I'm tired and I have questions. But today I want to be healed. Today I want to be healed. Oh, the Lord is passing by, healing all the fragmented areas of your life. Yeah, let him in, 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 let him in. There's more. Shut up! You've got to have a breakthrough internally. There we go, there we go, there we go, there we go, there we go. Let it out, let it out, let it out, let it out. You've held it in too long. You've held it in too long. You've held on to the anger too long. You've held on to the hurt too long. Shout Abba! 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 Shout it! Abba! Let your soul shout it! Let your soul shout it! Let your soul shout it! Abba! Abba, no more stuffing! Abba, no more avoiding! Abba, no more! Shout Abba! 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 You know who got their miracles in the Bible? Desperate people. Desperate people. Desperate people. Desperate people. Desperate people. Desperate people. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray, Father, across this room, and I pray, Father, that your power, Father, would begin to be evident, God, in this place. I pray that you show yourself, God, in the heart of every man, in the heart of every woman, as they begin to respond to this altar, God, as they begin to respond to it, God. I pray, Father, that something break internally, God. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, Father, that you begin to deal with the soul, that Father, we cannot hide it anymore. We cannot, God, pretend like it's not there anymore. Father, we cry out to you and we shout, Abba, 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 heal us. Abba, heal my soul. Tell him, heal my soul. 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 Thank you, God. Me, for me. Holy Jesus. Father, we pray that you expand internally, God, that they make room for you. 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 I thank you for the next that's coming. 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 I thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Just two more minutes. Come on, come on, come on. Shout Abba. Come on, shout Abba. Oh God, oh God, oh God, I need you. My soul is fragmented, God. We're desperate for healing, God. We're desperate for internal breakthrough, God. We're desperate, God. We're desperate, Abba. We're desperate, Abba. We're desperate, Abba. Yeah, some of you are having your breakthrough internally. You're finally getting it out. You're finally dealing with it. You're finally getting it out. Get 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 it out. In the presence of your Abba, begin to get it out. 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 In the presence of Abba. Shout Abba. Heal me. Abba. Abba. Heal me. Abba. 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 Shout it. Shout it. Shout it. Shout it. Shout it! Shout it! Lift your hand up and tell him to fill you. 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 He who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. I feel that many of you have struggled with your relationship with God. But if you just make room in this moment, there'll be breakthrough. Internally, tell him, God, I'm hungry for a move of your spirit, God. And I ask you to come in into the depths of my soul. And that you come in, God. And that you fill. Fill the room, fill the room. Fill the room, fill the room, fill the room. Fill the room, fill the room. One more minute. Come on, one more minute. Just one more minute, one more minute, one more minute. Tell him I'm hungry for you. Can you tell him I'm hungry for you? Can you tell him I'm thirsty for you? Can you tell him I'm hungry? I'm hungry. I haven't been hungry in a long time. I lost my passion. I lost my love for you. But today I make an acknowledgement. I say, God, I need you. I need you. I need the church to shout that. I need you. Tell him. I need you. Thank you, God. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. Thank you. You're powerful. You're so perfect. The worship team can come up. Father, we thank you. You're shifting. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.